Amen. Amen. Well, I hadn't planned on doing this. I was a little surprised this morning, right? I told you guys, my State Fair friends came this morning, and I was really excited this morning. But, you know, you all have seen Will and Stacy before, and I'm glad you're here. But can I tell you some, I'm so excited to see people that I consider to be a great influence in my life, and Stan and Susan. And I spent more time at their house growing up, probably than my own house sometimes. And they poured into my life. Stan actually let me keep a car in there for weeks that we broke and never did fix. But he let us keep it in his garage and act like we knew what we were doing, which is really just acting like a bunch of goofballs. And I just want to thank them for this opportunity, to thank them for pouring into my life, for being there when I needed them. And to this day, still in my life, my favorite time is to sit down with them at the campfire and talk about things of the Lord. And as they continue to pour into my life, and let me tell you, there's a whole generation of us that you have poured into. And so thank you guys for being here today. It means a tremendous amount to me. So. I did get in a lot of trouble at their house, too. Police had been called to their house when I was there. So, you know, we're going to continue on with our spiritual gifts series that we're into, and I'm excited for today. I believe God is stirring something up inside of Sunshine Open Bible, inside of the church as a whole, but inside of Sunshine Open Bible, that is just, we are on the precipice of about to just have a unique outpouring. God is preparing our hearts for revival. I just believe that. I really do. And so, you know, I'm excited to be able to talk about it. And, you know, I like a little bit of special demonstrations in my sermon, you know. So I have this present here. I'm just going to set it off here to the side. This is just a gift for now, but we're going to sit it there. And I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. How many of you realize that from today, that there's only 143 days until Christmas? Only 143 days to Christmas. And you would say, why would you even mention that? And my wife, who was proofreading, put in here, that's a jerk move. Yeah. But I bring that up for this purpose, because, you know, some of us, we're already, if I know Stacy Day, she's already probably got a Christmas present or two hidden. Yeah, I know you do. Because she's thinking, and I've seen her do this, she thinks of the perfect gift for each and every person. She thinks hard. She thinks about you as a person. And most of us, when we give a gift, right, we give a gift, we put a lot of thought into it, right? Hopefully you're not the last minute gift giver, but most of us, we put a lot of thought into it, right? You know, I think about, like, what necklace would look good on Heidi, what pair of earrings would be, you know, to offset her eyes, you know, what clothes would accent her the best, you know, all of those type of things. And we can't wait, right? You guys can't wait to see the face of the person you give the gift to, right? It's exciting to give the gift. It is. It's totally exciting. But let's think about this. Let's think about this. Here's a little more fun fact for you. I know it seems impossible, but we're only 223 days from last Christmas. Only 223 days from last Christmas. And I want you to think about it. Most of us don't think about it now, like how hard we've worked to pick out that perfect gift that we just know that special person is going to love, right? We've worked hard. We've thought hard about it. How would you feel right now if you went back to your house and you found that special gift that you poured yourself into, that you worked, that you held how many days? 143 days in advance, right? Right? You held it that long. You've done all of the work for it. And you went home, and it was still sitting in the corner, unwrapped. It's still wrapped. It's never been unwrapped. It's never been opened before. How would you feel It's going to have dust all over it. Anybody watch the Griswolds, you know, Christmas there, European? You all remember he finds all the presents in the attic and they're just covered in dust? What good was the gift, right? Well, his heart was right. He had all these special gifts, but what's the point of it? Now let's think about it from the person who the gift was for. Maybe they didn't know the gift was for them. Maybe that's why they didn't open it. Maybe because they didn't bother to look at the tag on the present to see whose name was on it. Maybe they didn't even ask about the gift. They just were content to let it sit there because they were too embarrassed. Maybe they couldn't even imagine that they were worthy of a gift. But here's the thing. What if that gift was for you? The gift giver was thinking just of you when they put that gift together for you to use, for you to enjoy, for you to share with everyone else. Because let me tell you, they were carefully thinking about you. They were thinking just about you. They personalized that gift just for you. And it was meant for you to share with the others around you. But you know what? That gift sitting there wrapped and unused and unopened is just an insult and a waste. It's unused potential. How many people want to have unused potential? Well, that takes us to our scripture today. We're going to stay with 1 Corinthians 12 because I believe this scripture is so important to the church today that as many times as I preach in this series, you're going to hear this whole scripture. Because this is one of the most important scriptures to the believer today. It's one that it gives us power. It gives us fuel to go on with the journey. It's one that should resonate with our hearts at all time. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 1 and we're going to finish in verse 11. It's a long scripture, but I'm telling you, it's important. It's important. So if you want to read along with me, if otherwise you can read up here along with me. So it says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is a Lord except by the Holy Spirit." He says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." Oh, it's powerful, isn't it? It is powerful. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to invite the Holy Spirit in today, right? I'm excited for what he has to say today. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every heart that is here today, God. Lord, I pray, just like I did this morning, that each and every one of these hearts would be open this morning, that they would have ears to hear today, eyes to see what you see, God. Lord, hearts that are soft and ready for what it is you have to say. So we invite you in, Holy Spirit, and say, have your way in this place today. God, we believe that you are doing a great thing. We are thankful for the gifts that you have given. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so if you're wondering what the title of this message is, it says, what are the spiritual gifts for? And there's all kinds of things that go around this. And I'll tell you, you know, I saw Josh on here for a second, so I got to pick on him. So today in Sunday school, we taught out of Acts 20. And anybody knows about Acts 20? It's about the story about the young man who falls out of the window and dies because he wasn't listening, you know. So Josh, just giving you some help there, you know. I love you, Josh. Hopefully I'm more entertaining than Paul was. But let's talk about this just a little bit. What are the spiritual gifts for? And I put this, I kind of went a little backwards with it, maybe, because I thought you have to have some preface to know about the spiritual gifts. You need to know where they come from, how they come, before you can understand what they're for, right? It's kind of like getting a piece of equipment. Somebody gives you a piece of equipment, Stan. You have no idea what it's for. You need to know what it's for before you can use it, right? Stan, you fixed a lot of equipment who people use things they didn't know what it was for over the years because they didn't use it right. So let's talk about it. I got my FAQs. Anybody know what an FAQs is? Frequently asked questions. So let's talk about it. What are the conditions for receiving one of these gifts we're talking about? Because if it would be great if we just, hey, I want that, right? I want that. But let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about the very first qualification for having a gift of the Spirit. That first one is the spiritual gifts are for those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no right to any of those gifts. Second part of that is that you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let me give you a scripture here out of John chapter 14, 16 through 17. It's Jesus speaking. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads all into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Now get that. That's the prefaces, right? If you're in the world and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't even comprehend who the Spirit is. You can't receive him because it isn't looking for him, it says, and doesn't recognize him. You have to know him to recognize him. Makes sense, right? But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. Oh, that's powerful words. Now listen, we have to understand that spiritual gifts, get this, come from the same gift giver. They're not separate. They're not separate. They're from the same Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God. Sometimes we kind of mix that up. That we have to understand that it is from the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one and only source. Now, I want you guys to think about this because this gets confusing for a lot of people. He's the only source of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, and our hearts have to be aligned with the Holy Spirit to receive them. I want you to understand that. Hear that loud and clear. Here's the next part, because some of you think we get into this mentality that we can earn it. We can do something to attain it. We get this idea of that. So the gifts of the Spirit cannot be earned or bought. They can only come from the seeking of the Spirit of God and his gifting. Now, I want to tell you this story out of Acts chapter 8 about a man who thought that he could earn it, buy it, and it didn't go so well for him. It says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter is about to go scorched earth. Steve, here you go. I wish I had a trash can to kick. I bet Peter did. But Peter replied, may your money be destroyed with you for thinking that God's gift can be bought. You have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin. Your motivation matters in seeking the Holy Spirit. It matters, folks. But we've talked about that piece now. Now let's think about this part. We have to desire to have the Holy Spirit and the gifts manifest in us, but it's for the purpose of glorifying the Father. There's a lot of people running around out there who would love to have the gift of prophecy, healing, you know, all of these things, special words. But let me tell you, their hearts are not about glorifying the Father. They're about glorifying themselves, holding themselves in an exalted position. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul has a lot to say about seeking the Holy Spirit. He says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. It's okay, church. It is okay to desire the gifts of the Spirit. Matter of fact, we would like you to desire it. I want people in this church who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but let me tell you what I don't want. I don't want anybody who wants those gifts who's not rooted in love. The gifts of the Spirit should always be rooted in love and the desire to serve God at all costs. If your motivation for the gift of healing, if your motivation for the gift of prophecy, if your motivation for words of knowledge is anything but glorifying God, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's strong language, but I rebuke you for it. If it's for your personal agenda, personal gain, God help you. The gifts of the Spirit are not meant to be rooted in pride or selfishness, but in the love that God demonstrates for his people. Paul tells us that if you are not operating in love, you are like a clanging cymbal. You're just noise. You have no effect. You have no purpose if it's not rooted in love. Likewise, this is an interesting one, withholding the gifts of the Spirit or lording them over others, or seeing yourself as better or superior is just as bad as not using the gifts that have been given. If you are sitting on those gifts that God has given you and you're not using them, oh man. When we use those gifts of the Spirit for our own personal gain, we're going against God's intended purpose for gifts. I'm going to give you the bridge version of Balaam and his little donkey. I love the story of God making a donkey talk. It's kind of like allowing me up here. He's allowing the donkey to talk. But Balaam was asked to come and prophesy, use the gift of prophecy that God had given him to prophesy against the people. They wanted to pay him for it. And Balaam's sin, because he said, no, I can't prophesy against them. You know what his sin was? Because he went back to God because his heart wasn't right. And he said, oh, but God, should I? And the next verse says, God was angry with him. because he wanted to use his gifts for his own personal gain, to hold up his own reputation, to line his pockets. Shame on us. Shame on us when we use the gifts of God to manipulate our position or to see how the people of the church treat us. No gift is more important than any other gift. And each of these gifts was given to benefit the church and increase the faith of the believer and be a sign to the unbeliever. Hear me loud and clear. There is not one gift that is more important than the next gift. Some of you hang your hats on a few of these gifts. I'm telling you, you have a rude awakening. Paul clearly tells us that each gift has its place. There is not one more important gift. Because that leads us into what does it look like? The gifts of the Spirit are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit. How many people think they're the same? They're different. I love this because let me tell you what Jesus' own words were. He didn't say, did anybody know this? Did Jesus say that I'll know them by their gifts? He said, I'll know them by their fruit. I'll know them by their fruit. That fruit should look like this. It should look like the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives should produce results that glorify Jesus. If people don't see you when they look at you and say, that's a representative of Jesus, it ain't it. You are operating in your own power. Some of us, we walk around and we use the gift of the Spirit as a weapon with no evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Gifts without, get this, now somebody, this might offend somebody, but gifts without the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not going on a limb, I'm walking straight out there. They are self-manufactured. I mean, Galatians 5:22 gives us these characteristics, these fruits, if you will, that represent when the Holy Spirit abides in our lives. Heidi loves to tell me these, and she's right on. And tell me this doesn't line up with what Paul says. And he says, this is his words, but love. First and foremost, he said, operate in love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruits have to be present also. If you can come up here and give a word from the Lord or lay your hands on people for healing, but you're going to go home and kick the dog, yell at your spouse, yell at the kids, flip off the driver cross as you're walking out the street, driving out of the street, I'm telling you, you probably manufactured it. That is not the Spirit of God living inside of you. It is not. But that leads us actually to where we're at, because I told you we had to get through the FAQs. We had to know what it wasn't and what it was to get to the point of what are the gifts of the Spirit meant for? What is that healing, words of knowledge, prophecy, tongues? What are they all meant for? Let's establish this first, that the gifts of the Spirit are meant for all believers. Hear me loud and clear, church. For all believers who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are. They are meant for. The fact is, if we're not operating in them, something's wrong. We're unused potential. We're leaving the gift all wrapped up. For all you know, right now, there might be $1,000 in here. But it ain't worth anything to anybody if it doesn't get open, does it? Well, there's something in there. The book of Acts demonstrates that the Holy Spirit was meant for all believers. When you look at that, it's a continual comparison, right, between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they go down the road, and it's everywhere it goes. The church in Jerusalem is like surprised. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit's meant for them too? Because let me tell you what Joel 28:2, verses 28 through 29 says. Listen to this. I love this, because this is where I'm rooting what I believe God is saying to the church right now. He says, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Don, you're going to be dreaming dreams. Your young men, Josh, you're going to start seeing visions. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. So the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us who've accepted and who've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, God is a God who gives good gifts. He doesn't hold back good gifts from his children who ask. Matthew 7:11 tells us, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Because some of you are afraid to open up the gifts of the Spirit because you're afraid you don't know what the gift is about. Let me give you some piece of advice. If the Father gave it, it's a good gift. It's a good gift. I know what it's like to stand up here and be afraid to operate in the gift that God gave us. A word of knowledge. I know what it's like to be afraid to pray for somebody because I'm not for sure if my faith is quite there and they'll get healed. But it's not about me because I have a gift from the greatest gift giver of all. I'm not operating in my own power. I can trust the things that he speaks to my heart. But church, we have to be persistent. We have to be persistent in asking because he wants to see the condition of our hearts. Because some of us have stinky hearts. We have stinky hearts. Who doesn't deserve to operate in those gifts? That's the truth. Because our hearts aren't fully turned towards him. So he wants us to be persistent in searching out after him, seeking out after him. You know, I told you we're transitioning some spiritual authority to Kelton, right? We're giving him. You know what prompted that? His conversation that said, I want more. I want more. That's all it took. I want more. And I've been asking and I've been seeking. Because God wants a persistent heart. He wants those who are seeking after the things that he's seeking. He wants hearts that are in tune with his. The gifts of the Spirit, as we're going to continue to talk about over the next month or two, are for the uplifting, hear this loud and clear, for the uplifting of each other and the church. They are not for beating down. They are not for putting your foot on somebody's neck. I grew up in a time when that was pretty common. I'm grateful for people for like Stan and Susan who didn't want to put their heel on my neck, who instead poured in to develop those gifts. They didn't know that I would stand here someday. I'm sure they didn't think I'd be standing here one day. It's about uplifting one another. Paul doesn't leave any interpretation for what the gifts of the Spirit are intended to do. They're for helping each other as believers. Because listen to these. Listen to this list of spiritual gifts. Tell me these aren't for helping and building up of the church. Wise advice. Who doesn't appreciate some wisdom? Special knowledge. Great faith. Well, some of you, I look out there and I can just see the great faith. Healing. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you think that's only Pastor Wendy's job, and because Pastor Wendy's not here, healing doesn't take place. I'm telling you, stand up, church. Stand up. Stand up with great faith for healing. The ability to perform miracles. We've become so desensitized as a nation that we forgot what it's like to experience and look for a miracle, to expect a miracle. The book of Acts is full. Paul would walk into a place, Peter would walk in, and he expected God to move. How many of you expected God to move today when you got here? How about prophesy? Prophecies. Everybody gets all nervous a little bit about prophecy, don't they? Oh, but God says it's for the building up and of the believers. How about discernment of messages? Because with prophecy comes discernment of messages. Sometimes, let's be honest, church, we get it wrong. Every once in a while. But we have that ability to discern. The ability to speak in unknown languages. How about interpretation? It's more important to be interpretate than it is to speak in a special language. Paul says he'd rather you prophesy. Let's go down the list. Some of us get so hung up on tongues. I promised my wife I wasn't going to go here. We get so hung up on tongues that we forget about the other gifts. Right? Are we looking for the fruit? That's what I'm looking for. I go back to Jesus' words. I will know them by their fruit. Each of these gifts I just listed are not for your personal gain, for your standing in the church, for to be known as somebody special. It's but for the edification, the building up of the people around us. If your gift is not prompting others to act, if it's not about raising up others to operate in their gifts, it's useless. It's a buildup and not a teardown. We're given these gifts, guys. We're given these gifts so that we can come together, so that we can be whole. Paul goes on a little bit later on into chapter 12 to talk about how all the parts knit together. I've not experienced any loss of any limb, but maybe some of you have. And sometimes it's harder to do things. It's harder to be complete with the loss of a limb. Same way with the gifts. If all the gifts aren't operating, we're incomplete. We're out of balance. Who's ever driven a car where the tires are out of balance? It's a bumpy ride, isn't it? It's a really bumpy ride. The Greek word that was used in the text when it's coming together is this word. It's called symphirio. And symphirio simply means to bring together. It's the modern word we have today is symphony. A symphony. When the Spirit, when the gifts of the Spirit should not separate us, we shouldn't have all these different sounds going around us, right? But it should unite us, and it should become one big pleasing sound to the Lord. Where's my musicians at? Where's my orchestra people? Been in orchestra maybe 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Sorry. How many of us have kids that played instruments? Yeah. So you guys remember going to the junior high concerts, the elementary concerts? Hey, is there any elementary kids in here right now? No? Good. They suck. They were terrible, right? You got all these noises just going on everywhere. And, you know, right? Good mom and dad's, yeah, you know. I'm sorry, kids. It stinks. It's probably why I have to wear hearing aids now. That's what I'm going to go with. Kelton, I love you, buddy, but they were bad. They were bad. They were terrible. But listen, when you go to a concert and all the instruments come together, when all of them are in tune. So think about this. I want you guys to think about it. We go start with the elementary. But then we went to junior high, and you know what? It almost sounded like music. Got a little closer. And then we went to high school, right? And we start with the freshmen, and then you had like the freshman boys, and they stunk too. But, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And but then you get up, you know, you keep going. And by the time you get to senior year, you get the specialty of the specialties, right? And what does it sound like? It's beautiful. It's amazing. Because all of the instruments are playing together at the right time in the right place because they've been practiced and they've been used, they've been tuned to all play together. And it becomes this beautiful sound. It's a beautiful sound. And that brings us to the fact that the gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used according to God's purpose. If you're using your tuba, that's not a good one. If you're using your violin as a back scratcher, it's probably not being used for what it was meant to be, is it? It's probably not. Listen to this. That's what Paul says in Romans 12:6. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Speak out. Use your instrument. Kelton has a guitar that I bought him when he first started playing guitar years and years ago. And it sits in my closet. Kelton, if you were to play it today, it would sound pretty bad, wouldn't it? Because it hasn't been played in years. It has no use. It's out of tune. It's not been practiced. An instrument that goes unused is an instrument or a gift that falls out of tune. Gifts of the Spirit were never meant to just stay wrapped up and unused. They were never meant to stay like this. It's pretty, isn't it? It's pretty cool to say, you know what, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah! But if I don't use it, what good is it? What good is it? It is the responsibility of the one who was given a gift to use the gift as it was intended. It was never my responsibility to use Kelton's guitar because it wasn't mine. It's never my responsibility to prophesy for you or you. It's never my responsibility to stand out and have faith for healing. It was yours. Because you cannot sit on the gift. You are responsible for the gifts that God, the Spirit of God, has given you. And get this, you will be held accountable for it. You will be held accountable. Matthew 25, 29 through 30. This is the tale of the talents. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. If you don't start operating in the gifts that God has given you right now, you aren't getting any more. Just telling you that. And they will have, but those who are, will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what a little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus doesn't mince words here, does he? Guys, this is not a spectator sport. You got to get into it. Why would the Holy Spirit give you a gift if you were never going to use it? Don't you think that he would hold you accountable for it? I'm so disappointed sometimes when I stand here and I see the same people after same people after same people, because I know that I've prayed with dozens of you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I can affirm that you're showing those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, but you step no further in. You don't operate in those gifts. It's not meant for you to stay in a corner. It's not meant for you to stay isolated. You're defeating the very purpose of the gift of God. Some of you, though, you get to feeling like maybe you're out there all by yourself. You're abandoned. Maybe you don't know what to do and how to do it. I have good news for you. John 14:26 says this about the Holy Spirit. It says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, get that, hear this, the Holy Spirit is the representative. That is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit himself is our number one teacher. He's your number one cheerleader to get out of the seat. You know, we encourage so many of you. Kelton did it again today, and I'm so thankful you do it, because he encourages you to get down to the altar, because he's encouraging you to exercise your gifts. He's exhorting you to do that. And guys, as saints, those of you who are mature saints, those of you who operate in gifts of the Spirit, it's your responsibility, get this, to begin to mentor and help identify. It is your job to help bring others along. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, we looked at Acts 20. There's a list of men who traveled with Paul. Because you know what he was doing? He was pouring into them. He was teaching them. He was continuing. And then he would send them out. Go to Philippi. Go to Corinth. Go to Ephesus. There's a time for instructing, and there's a time for sending out. And that's what mentors do. Those of us who have those gifts, I could tell you, I could sit on some of those things, words of knowledge, things like that. I could have stayed up here and held my platform like nobody's business. I could have held my mic tight. But when I had someone say, I want more. Happens to be my son, but that's not the point. He said, I want more. I'd be judged if I wasn't willing to mentor that along and bring that out. Saints, if we're acting in the Spirit, we need to begin to mentor those folks. We have to look for people who have first and foremost a heart of the Spirit. And they're longing for the things of him. We can't be greedy, and it's hard sometimes, because sometimes we want to hold on to those things, and because we think that's what people know us as. Don't be greedy. Get out of the way sometimes, because the next generation's rising up. God's getting ready to do this. But we all have to operate for God to be able to do these things. He wants us to act in harmony. I think about Elijah and Elisha. Do y'all remember what he said? He came and he found him in the field. He said, follow me. If you can follow me, you can have my anointing. And then he laid down his mantle, and he allowed the other one to pick it up. Because this is the cool part, guys. Because when we're willing to hand over, God begins to open up another door for us. He begins to open up the next door for us. Because sometimes we hold on so tightly, we're squeezing so tightly, we miss out on the other opportunities to experience the other gifts of the Spirit and the things that God has called us into. I am expectantly waiting for God to call me into the next portion of my ministry right now. To release that next gift of the Spirit in me, because I'm willing to release those words of knowledge. I'm willing to release that leading of that portion. I'm expectant. I'm expectant. Paul was constantly coaching and he's mentoring. He's bringing up Timothy because he knows that his time is limited. He knows that the church has to survive beyond him. And so how he did that is he began to constantly encourage, build up, edify, and release. Come on. We need each other, guys, to be a complete body that operates in full ministry, accomplishing the things that Christ called us to do. Jesus said that we would do even greater things than him. That's what he said. With the release of his Spirit, are we doing greater things than him right now? I'm not asking you to answer. I wouldn't want you to answer at this point. Because we need each other. We need to begin to build up one another. Listen to this out of 1 Corinthians, just a little further down. It says, all of you together are Christ's body. Listen to that. All of you. I love how this all keeps coming into play. And each of you is a part of it. Each of you is a part. And here are some of the parts that God has appointed to the church. And he goes through the whole thing. First are apostles, prophets. Third is teachers. Those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Some of you don't even think about that as being a gift. Some of you can help others. That's huge. My brother Andy back there is one of the most spirit-filled men I got when it comes to helping others. There ain't a thing that guy won't do for you. The Spirit of God resides in him. And it's no less important than the person who has miracles. How about the gift of leadership? And those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Paul goes into this whole thing. Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But let me show you the way of life that is best of all. Oh, come on, that's the Spirit of God. That's the best life of all, isn't it? Are we all the same body? No way. But we need to act with the gifts that we're given. Some of you are singers around here, and you don't want to tell us. We need worshipers, don't we, Kelton? Because we want to build a roster that doesn't go down just because the worship leader went down or just because Heidi needed to go somewhere else for something. We need a roster of people. Some of you can be teachers. Some of you know how to fix cars. There are people who need that. Some of you have the ability to prophesy, and you've held on to it. Some of you have the gift of leadership, and you're not using it. We have to act in the individual gifts that the Spirit gives. Don't be jealous of the gifts of the others, but know that God prepared you uniquely to steward the gift that he gave you. Be confident in the gift that he gave you. Each of us was created to be a part with a special purpose to create wholeness. Exclamation point on this next little bit. This is not a spectator sport. For those of you who are content to just come in here and sit, this is not a spectator sport. Get off the sidelines. Get off of the bench. You weren't called to be a bench player. You were called to be a full-out participant. The church, to be who we are created to be, needs each person today to begin to unwrap. You need to unwrap and begin to operate with the passion, with the joy, with the confidence that God created you to use this gift. To build one another up, to strengthen one another. That's the confidence. That's the purpose the gifts of the Spirit were given, and they are for you. They're for you, John. Philana, they're for you. Rick Hunt, God's got a purpose for you and a gift. Don't sit on them. The gifts of the Spirit, they're meant for all of us, guys, as we wrap it up. And I like to kind of remind you. But first you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must. Secondly, you have to have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my car guys will get this. It's like having a Corvette sitting in the garage with no fuel to go. You are powerless to move out of the garage until we put the high octane in it. And the baptism is the high octane that will fuel you for this journey. The gifts of the Spirit, guys, they're meant to build up the body of believers. They're not for anything other than that. That gift was never for you just to hold on to. It was never meant for this. It was meant to open up and share with every person. Nothing. I'm too cheap. The gifts of the Spirit were only to be rooted and used in love. There's nothing in there because I love you all and I want to teach you to fish. Right? I want to teach you to fish. Without you and the gifts that God has given us, the body of Christ is incomplete. It is. Don't waste those talents that God gave you. I'll say it one last time, and it's all in capital letters here. It says, this is not a spectator sport church. This church, Sunshine Open Bible, I'm standing over you today saying this is not a spectator church. We're an all in or get out, right? We're an all in. We're all in because you have to be fully involved to live fully and receive the full reward, because there is a judgment day and you will be judged based on what you did with what God gave us. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'll ask our prayer team to come up if they would. And I have three really simple questions today for you as a church. And I want you to hear these loud and clear today. So as you bow your heads, if today you were here and you have never received, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, that's you, because you say, I am lacking a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's you, just raise your hand. Yeah, I see those hands. Second question I would ask you today is, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never had that infilling of God's Spirit in your life that gives you power, and you want that today, I want you to raise your hand. I see your hands. Thirdly, if you want to have a revelation of the gift of the Spirit in your life, and you want God to use you for His purposes to glorify His name through those gifts, I want you to raise your hand.